Matthew tonight. I want to keep rolling on some stuff that I was started on last couple weeks. I'm going to be in Matthew 22. We're going to start verse 15 tonight. Before we get going, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Just ask His blessings on this evening, and that our minds and hearts and everything would be opened up to Him. Robin, you want to lead us tonight, sister?
Your word, Father, and just draw closer to You, Lord. I pray that You would open our hearts and our eyes tonight, God, and just write Your words in our hearts, Lord. Just teach us tonight, God. We want to know You, Father. We want to go deeper into You, into Your heart, Father. And just open us tonight, God. Open us up. Teach us, Father. We give You complete access, Lord. We love You and we praise You. Help us to come into focus right now, Lord. We just thank You in Jesus' name.
A couple weeks ago, we started on a study that God really just dropped in my spirit, and we spent 2 or 3 weeks on strengthening ourselves and others in the Lord, and out of that, we kind of spun into Jonathan and his connection with David, how he strengthened and encouraged David in his life, especially when David was in times of uncertainty, times of waiting on God, times of waiting things to come to fruition. And, you know, everybody wants to connect and jump in with somebody when everything's going great in their life, but when everything's going great in their life, it's not the time they really need you. They need you in the times of waiting. They need you in the times of uncertainty. They need you in those times of, you know, maybe they're at their weak place. And so Jonathan was a beautiful picture of that. Out of that, we began to talk about a couple Wednesday nights ago, I think it was, and I started on it and then rolled into it on a Sunday morning somewhat, on a topic of dying from misplaced loyalties. Dying from misplaced loyalties. We talked about Jonathan and his connection, his God connection with David. And then ultimately, he died an incomplete life. I put his life was a great tragedy because he was supposed to rule with David. And he wound up dying on the battlefield with his father. And I feel like a lot of times we short circuit or we abort the greatness in our life because we have misplaced loyalties. And so I want to talk about that some tonight, and I really emphasize heavily on what we're connecting ourselves to, instead of the things that we are negatively connecting ourselves to, or we're putting the wrong amount of weight on it, I guess is a better way to phrase that. So I want to just kind of catch the tail end of attaching ourselves to things that are great, and then come in and begin to look at the misplaced loyalties and how that can abort or kill or short-circuit things that God wants to do in our life that are great. I've got just a couple notes that I want to read, and then we're going to read the text and dive in. I said Jonathan risked everything for his relationship with David on numerous occasions. His life, his relationship with his father, his standing in the kingdom, and I say that is his father's kingdom. He saw greatness in David and knew that God had attached his life to it. And this was worth every risk that he took. And we saw this pattern in Jonathan for probably 15 years before he ultimately died on the battlefield with his father. And so it was a long period of time that he was attaching himself to something that was great and something that was significant. And a lot of people come in, and I hear it not only from the words that they say, but from the posture of their life. A lot of people come in and they say, well, you know, God just hadn't brought anything in my life for me to attach myself to. There's nothing that I really feel that's significant, big enough, or anything like that. And I think that the reason that happens in our lives is because we do not position or posture ourselves in a place where we see God's kiss, God's stamp, God's stirring, or God's drawing for us to attach to something. The thing about Jonathan that you'll notice, before he attached himself to David, attached his life to David, is that it was not a thing that he did, but it was a thing that God did. He was in a place where he saw what David was doing. He saw him slay Goliath. He had seen David in, now remember, he had seen David in his father's house playing his instruments of worship and causing the evil spirits to leave his father. So he knew there was an anointing on David before the battle ever took place. Then he saw David go out and do something that he was not willing to do. Think about how great Jonathan was. Jonathan was a mighty warrior, one of the most beautiful pictures we see of the faith and the gallantry of Jonathan was when he went with his armor bearer alone and overtook and slew a whole garrison of Philistines. He operated in faith. He operated in valor. He operated in strength. So Jonathan had it going on. Don't think just because you've got it going on that you don't need to attach yourself to somebody that's in a different sphere or different realm. That's important. Because a lot of you come in and you're all independent and all that and say, well, I don't need nobody and I don't see nobody and there ain't nobody worth me attaching to and all of that. And that's not independence, that's pride. And you will fail to reach what God intended you to reach unless you attach yourself to somebody or something, some move that's greater than you. The thing about David was Jonathan came in and Jonathan saw him do something that he could not do or was not willing to do. Think about it. He's sitting there and Goliath had stood before all of the armies of Israel, Jonathan included. We sit here, man, and we really dog out King Saul. And I do. I'm like, dude, you're the king. The Word talked about how his stature, he was bigger than anybody else in Israel. They said he was like heads above everybody else in Israel. Just from a physical standpoint, he was a big dude. The average Jew's not big. Saul was a big cat. And he comes in, and he was afraid to go fight Goliath. Goliath taunted them for 40 days. And Saul was afraid to go down there, but guess what? Jonathan was afraid to go down there too. He was standing on the same battlefield. He was hearing the same taunts. And he was a great man of valor. He was a great man of courage. He was a great man of faith. But there was something that paralyzed him and kept him from going down and completing the task of facing Goliath. But then David went in and acting on faith was not the physical specimen that Saul was. I don't believe probably at that time was the physical specimen of Jonathan. But he acted on faith. He acted on knowing that God's anointing was on his life. And he went down. We know the story. And the thing is we have to recognize that God desires to attach us to people and things that are greater than us in order to bring greatness out in us. It's not so you go in and you serve, although that will take place somewhat in certain levels. But attaching yourself to those people and those things will bring greatness out in you. And we have to go in and allow God to attach us to people that are willing to go places that we're not willing to go, do things that we're not willing to do. They've got a different kiss on their life than what I've got on my life at this time. Okay? Now, one thing with us when we were raising our girls and all of that, we never carried them places we weren't willing to go in front of them. I never carried them down a ski slope that I was not willing to go down and lead the way first. And if I was not willing to lead the way and go there before them, then I was not going to ask them to do it. But once I did it, then you know what that did? That gave them permission and liberty to do the same. Now, it might have been a time of instruction and all of that. They may be pizza wedging down this steep thing, but they're going to get down it. We used to carry our girls down some stuff, and now Lee and Brett do it, and I'm kind of like, oh, man, come on now. And Lee's like, you used to do worse than that to us. I'm like, you're right. So you know, it's our grandbabies now. So do you see what I'm saying on that, guys? Sharon, God wants to attach you to people or a movement that goes places that maybe you hadn't been yet. They've got greatness on them. Doesn't mean you've got greatness on you. But it means that He's going to attach you that's going to bring the greatness out of you. I hope my life is something that helps bring greatness. I hope you're better for being around me. My goal is that you guys are better for being around me. My goal with you guys, and a lot of y'all, man, I'll have y'all for 10 months. Y'all know what I mean by saying that. You know, 10 months. And hopefully it's 10 months for you. I hope you walk it out and see it through. But here's the thing. My goal is for me to make y'all better for being around me for 10 months. Not so y'all leave and say, "Oh, Sid's awesome," and all of this stuff and everything. Dude, I'm jacked up in many ways. But if y'all can come in here for 10 months and y'all are better for having known me, then there's something has been released and imparted into you. And that's what I'm talking about, attaching ourselves to people and attaching ourselves to things. Jonathan did not. What we do is we'll go out and choose stuff that looks good to us, that is popular, that is cool, that is appealing to us. We'll go in and we'll attach ourselves to a church that's, man, they got a new facility and they got a cool coffee shop and the minister's hip and I like the worship team and all of that stuff. And so we'll go attach ourselves to that because it's cool, it feels good, man. Maybe it's the hot popular church in Atlanta or Bremen or wherever. Because we've been that church before. I've been that church before. People came here because we were the hot new church. We've been here 20 years now. We're not the hot new church anymore. But people will come because of that. And they would attach themselves to that. And that's the thing of attaching ourselves to maybe the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. And we have to realize that God wants to attach us to things. I've told y'all this before, and y'all know this if y'all know me and Lori and all. God has attached us to Bill Johnson and to Bethel. That's on the other side of the country. We're talking about Northern California. It ain't easy to get there. It's not cheap to get there. It's not cheap to go to California to their stuff. We just got back from the worship camp. Phenomenal. Awesome. Robin, 72 hours of like, oh my gosh, you know. Spiritual. I'm afraid to use that word. It's awesome. Because God has attached us to Him. He's the Father of it. And to that place. Now, Carl Lentz came in. He's the pastor of Hillsong, New York. Dynamic, powerful. I mean, a guy that's just like, go. You know, I can get past the skinny, you know, not skinny jeans. I mean, skinny yoga pants and the little mock shirt thing and all of that. And I'm like, you know, I can get past that. I'm okay with that. I know you're hip, metro, and all of that stuff. Way cooler than I am and everything. You know, I'm good with that. But he's a powerful man in the kingdom. Powerful man, hear what I'm saying on this. Powerful man in the kingdom. But God did not attach me to Carl Lentz or to Hillsong, New York. I can appreciate him. I can look at, I'll say the same thing for Stephen Furtick up in North Carolina, Charlotte, right, James? James really likes him. I think God's done a kind of connection with him. I like him. I have tremendous respect for him. I love Elevation Worship. We sing a lot of the worship that y'all sing on Sunday mornings comes out of their church. I love it. But God has not attached me to Stephen Furtick, even though he's got greatness on him. Carl Lentz has got greatness on him. God hadn't attached me to those individuals. But I am attached to somebody. All right? So you've got to allow God. You can't come in and cherry pick and say, I think I'll take that, and I think I'll take this, and I'll take that. You've got to allow God to attach you to something, somebody, to a movement, okay? And when you recognize that, and if you say, man, that ain't me, and that don't work me. One thing about Jonathan with David, it said after he saw and he heard that God knit his heart to David's heart, he saw what he did on the battlefield, and he heard the words that he spoke. He had to posture and position himself. Two things in that. Position himself to see and hear, and then posture himself in a place of humility because he's the king's son. You know who should have been more jealous than anybody? Jonathan. He should have been more jealous than King Saul. Because, let's face it, guys, David wasn't going to get Saul's throne, although Saul thought he was. David was positioned to get Jonathan's throne. But he humbled himself and he said, man, I see greatness on this cat. I'm okay with it. Not only am I okay with it, I'm going to exchange clothes with this guy. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to commit my life to serving him. You know what he told David? He said, David, you're going to be on the throne and I'm going to be right there next to you. Basically what he's saying is, I'll be an armor bearer for you. I'll give my life for you. I will fight with you. I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. That's what he was saying in that, guys. Because he recognized there was greatness on him and there was greatness on that. And so I said that was worth every risk that he took. Now, here's where I want to come in and I want to talk about, and I've had some conversations with people out of this, the teaching the last few weeks, and Lori and I have had conversations, and, you know, me and Brett House have talked about it and all of this, and I want to read this scripture right here, and I said, this is really what it comes down to. We're in verse 15 of Matthew 22. Anybody got any comments on that before they move on? Anybody got any comments on that? All right. I want to tell you something, guys. Please hear me on this. This is not a thing where you're propping a guy or a movement up on a idol or a platform and you're making an idol out of them. It's not hero worship. It is not hero worship. You recognize greatness on them. You recognize God on them. You recognize what they have the potential to bring out of you, and it's an honor thing. That's the thing, Jack. It's an honor thing. I sat 10 rows back from Bill Johnson all weekend. 10 rows back, 10 to 15 at the most, right there. You know, sit and watched him interact. I had several times I wanted to go down and, you know, give him a prophetic word that he and I were supposed to be fly fishing buddies. And so never did. You know, I'm not one of these where I want to take selfies with somebody famous and all that. You know, like we're best buds. You know, with that kind of stuff makes me want to vomit. But so it wasn't a thing. But I sit here and I honored who he was, and because he's a father of something. I honored Mama Benny, okay? And I saw their children, and I saw their grandchildren, and I saw the whole Bethel collective sit right in front of us the whole weekend. And it was like a brood, wasn't it, Lori? It was a family. It was a father and a mother and all of their sons and daughters, okay? And so I recognize greatness in that, and I honor that. But I don't want you to get caught, because you'll sit here and say, well, he's just a man just like him. Exactly. Bill's not a big guy, I'll be honest with you. He's a little bit frail looking. Just in the physical, you know. I think I could take him in a wrestling match. But you recognize the hand of God on something like that. All right? You can be a spiritual giant without being a giant in the physical. Without being a giant in all of these other things. Not the loudest, not the most boisterous, but the presence that they carry. You look at all the great revivalists, the Smith Wigglesworths and all of these guys from the early revivals, the first great awakening and the second great awakening and all that happened through. And every one of those guys, it was about the presence that they carried with. Whitfield would walk into a factory and people would just come under conviction and just start weeping at their machines, and the whole thing would shut down because of the presence that they carried. All right, that's the kind of things I'm talking about that we need to position ourselves to, posture ourselves around, where we can attach ourselves, allow God to attach us to that. All right, everybody getting this? Okay, this will change your life, I promise. We run around and we don't have spiritual fathers and we don't have spiritual mothers, and we never allow God to attach us to stuff, and we wonder why greatness never comes out of us. That's why.
Exactly. But when I connect to them, then I'm at a place that I can receive that authority that they have in the spirit realm. And to me, I can grab hold of that better when I'm like, okay, this is who I feel connected with.
Yes.
Versus somebody else that I don't feel that way with. Sometimes what they say is good, but it kind of doesn't sink in as much.
Here's the thing. I'll use your children. Your children recognize the authority in me because I'm an adult. And they know I'm the preacher, so that carries a little bit extra weight. But let's say Amanda. She's an adult. And so they recognize the authority in her, but you carry a different authority, you and David. Why? Because because of who you are, but your voice. She can say something, and Isabel will respond out of respect for the authority of an adult, but she'll respond a whole lot more when her daddy says something. Because it's a different level of authority. All right? And when we go through and we don't attach ourselves, we come out, we're never under any authority in our life. And I want to say this, guys, it does not, I don't know that I will ever have a personal relationship with Bill Johnson. But I can still connect to him as a spiritual father of a movement that God has put me under the umbrella of. And because of that, I fall under the authority of what he says and what he releases and the spirit that comes out of that house. Are y'all getting that? I'm not saying that you're going to have to. James may never have, he may never even meet Stephen Furtick. I don't want to put more into, I know he likes him. Okay? I'm not saying that it's a big spiritual God connected him and all of that stuff. It is with us. Okay? But I may not ever have a personal one-on-one where we're drinking coffee or going fly fishing together or anything like that. But I can still come under the authority and recognize him as a spiritual father. When I sat this weekend 10, 15 rows behind him and I looked down there, you know what was there in my mind? That's Papa Bill. That's Papa Bill. That was the mantle he carried. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, the message and all of this stuff. I mean, Carl Lentz was a much more powerful speaker. Much more dynamic. You know, my gosh, he'll have you wanting to run through a wall or something to go lead somebody to Jesus. You know, go clean the Bowery out. You know, in New York. You know, go out and get all these homeless people in L.A. and let's lead them to Jesus and all that. But Bill carried a father weight, a papa weight, all right? And that's what Tiffany's talking about, is coming under the umbrella of that. And then when you hear that voice and under that mantle and all of that stuff. Lori and I, we're going over to Bethel, Atlanta some to see if God wants to connect us with that extension of Bethel Reading. Not in place of Victory Fellowship. We're not going over and trying it out, so I'll go start, you know, bye, we're going, you know, see y'all or anything like that. They meet on Saturday night. God may want to connect us with them on a certain level that will actually help accentuate what he's doing here, help undergird what he's doing here. And he may not. I don't know. Just because it's got the Bethel name, God, there may not be a kingdom connection there. But we're going to position ourselves and posture ourselves in case it is. And that's my challenge to you guys, is to position yourself and posture yourself. You kind of getting turned on to mountain biking right now, aren't you, Brett? You did it out in Utah, and you did it out in Arkansas a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's fun. We used to do it when the girls were little. I'd dig it and all of that stuff. But you would have never known unless you got on a bike and got on a trail and rode some and in a cool environment. I ain't talking about riding the green belt. Nothing wrong with riding the green belt. But that's not mountain biking. But until you positioned yourself and postured yourself to have that impact you, you would never known. But when you did, then you can say, I like this, or no, this ain't for me. I stay saddle sore all the time. But the thing was, you'd have never known if you'd not positioned and postured yourself. We have to position and posture ourselves, guys. This is huge, all right? We could just sit and just camp right here for the next 40 minutes. This is huge. This will change your life, or it will not change your life. It's up to you.
What you attach yourself to, you need to have a relationship with God in such a way that you hear His voice and what you're supposed to attach yourself to.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, space, how many churches are held in Harrison County? And they're all there for a reason, for the most part. And what are you attaching yourself to? And I think about, we're taking our Baylor, our dog, we're taking him to puppy training right now. Okay, so you're...
Get up on that.
Yeah, well, you're learning, he's learning all the commands, right? Well, he listens to us, and he'll sit, and he'll go down. But then the next person in the class tells their dog, you know what ours does? He sits. He lays down. They go to the next person, he does it. He thinks he's going to get a treat from everybody. He's listening to every voice in the room.
Yes.
And so he's a little confused. Well, not confused, but he's listening to everything, and he's doing everything he hears. The next step in his learning to be what he needs to be is he only listens to our voices. And you hear, he listens for his name, or we say Baylor, and he hears his name. He knows he's being talked to from him. And then he listens to what we're saying. And then all the other people in the room can be given commands, and he won't listen to them. Now, he's not there yet, but that's the idea. So many times I think us as Christians or whatever, we just listen to everything. We think, oh, that sounds right. Well, it may be right for that person at that time in their life, but is it right for you? And the only way you know that is to have a relationship with the Father.
Absolutely.
And he will tune you into what you need to be tuned into.
And that gets back to the thing that I was
talking about to start with is Jonathan did not connect himself to David. He allowed God to connect him to David. It's got to be a thing because there are a million things out there that are begging for us to connect to them. And we're going to talk about that in just a second with this scripture. And if we connect ourselves to the thing that looks good, feels good, is hip, is cool, and all of that stuff, then if it's not a God thing, then it will be fruitless. But when it's a God thing, then it will be powerful. Anybody got anything else before we move on? All right, let's read this text. Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Talking about Jesus. They sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Sell me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Very, very powerful lesson in this. Now, in this context, immediately they're coming in, they're trying to trick Jesus and pull a trap on him and get him in a place of rebellion. Where he said, Don't give anything to Caesar and all of that. He said, That's not the case. He said, Whose picture's on this coin? They said, Caesar. He said, Give Caesar what's Caesar's. But he said, Give God what's God's. The challenge for us, and the thing that we have to navigate through, is what do we connect to? What do we not connect to? Here's the notes that I put on this. I don't want to give anything to the world that belongs to God. I don't want to give anything to the world that belongs to God. Time, passion, focus, pursuit, resources. This is our litmus on stewardship. We just give so much of our lives to things that are temporal. That's the challenge for us. To give unto Caesar what's Caesar's, and give unto God what's God's. I'm going to use a couple examples here, okay? Let's talk about me and my career. That's a thing that every one of us have. If you're in the workforce, I could just as easily say Robin, Brett, Randy, whoever. Look at our career. Is our career God or is it mammon? Trick question, right? The answer is yes. It is yes. My career, your career in itself is Caesar. In itself, stand alone is Caesar. It is a means to an end is all it is. You're out brokering coffee. You still brokering coffee? You're out brokering coffee. How's that going to change the world? You're brokering coffee. I'm selling handlebars to some guy that's going through a cool crisis, and he needs to make his back look better, so he's going to spend $300 to put a new handlebar on it. That's not really life-changing, is it? In itself. See what I'm saying on that? We could be a little bit more noble and say, well, David works at a grocery store. He's feeding people. You good with that, right? You know, I could go on and play the whole, we were just providing transportation with people and all that, right? Just keep telling ourselves that. In itself, it's mammon. But if that's God's expression for my life and God's expression for my platform in life, then it becomes something more than just mammon. See what I'm saying? Because God's got a lot of words He spoke to me about being an entrepreneur, about being a storehouse. He gave me a word early this spring about being a financier. That means not only am I going to be blessed, but I'm going to reach a point in my life where I start funding people's dreams. It may be 5 years from now. It may be 10 years from now. I don't know when that part's going to take in. Just now starting to get into a place where I feel like there's a little bit of blessing coming on stuff. But I'm going to be in a place because the Lord spoke a word. And He says, that's a word He spoke to us this spring. Heard it just clear as a bell, James. He said, you're going to be a financier. You're going to come in and you're going to help fund people's dreams. You're going to come in and you're going to help their stuff become reality because of resources, because of story, because of blessing and all of that stuff. So that makes my career not just mammon. But if I'm careful, if I'm not careful, and I pull away from the kingdom aspect, then you know what it is? It's a means to an end. If it becomes just about making money, if it becomes just about advancing myself, it becomes just about those things, pleasure and cars and trips and houses and all of that stuff, then you know what it is? It's mammon. And I'm giving things that belong to God to something that's Caesar. I'll be honest with y'all, I struggled somewhat this weekend because we were in L.A., we were in downtown L.A., downtown L.A., L.A. has the largest population of homeless people in the United States. There are 13,000 homeless people in L.A. 13,000. And I struggled with walking two blocks to go eat breakfast at the pantry. No joint's been there since 1924. Never closed its door since 1924. I mean 24/7. David never, the lock never hit the door since 1924. It's a historical landmark. Good breakfast and all that. You know, people waiting in line, standing outside. Thing about it is the two blocks that me and Lori walked to get there, I walked by the Salvation Army, which the day before I saw people, 100 people lined up outside waiting to get in to be fed. I walked by people sleeping in the doorwells of buildings that were unoccupied, sleeping there with all of their worldly belongings right there next to them, Randy. And I went and spent $35 on breakfast. And I come back and I'm like, how do I balance this? How do I balance this? You know, I just spent $18 at lunch for sushi. It's awesome sushi. But how much would $18 change this guy's life? That's the thing that we have to, that's the trick in navigating, render under Caesar what Caesar's, but under God what's God's. And me and Lori gave some of them some food, and we gave some of them some money and all of that, but that was about 4 out of 13,000. I'm sitting there in my mind, I'm struggling with this. You know, I'm going getting in a $300 a night hotel room. And how much would $300 change this person's world? So what I'm saying is we have to come in, guys, and we have to look. Every one of us has to look and we say, give unto Caesar what's Caesar's, but give unto God what's God's. And that's the tricky thing. If Brett was here, I would use him for an example tonight, not in a negative way, but I'll use Sharon as an example. She's always great with examples. She loves me. Noah's a good soccer player. He enjoys playing soccer. I don't know if he has college aspirations for soccer or if there are college offers on the table or potential college offers on the table. I know he made the All-Star team last year for the state of Georgia, which was, you know, tremendous and homecoming king. I mean, hey, that's awesome too. But Noah's a good soccer player. Is soccer mammon or is soccer God? Yes. Soccer in itself is mammon. 99.9% of the people that play football, basketball, baseball, softball, soccer, will never play it professionally. They might get a scholarship and go to school anywhere from 1 to 4 years. It might get them a college education. But 99.9% will never play it professionally. In itself, it's mammon. But what's Noah? He's kingdom. So the trick that you have, the trick that I had with Ariel, the trick that Brett and Beth have right now, the trick that a lot of you guys are going to have as your kids get older, and now when they turn 5, with the travel ball and all of that stuff, what's kingdom and what's mammon? The tricky course is navigating, how do I render under Caesar what is Caesar's and under God what's God's? Because if I give soccer in itself, in your example, if I give soccer in itself the things that belong to God, then I am in total error. But if I come in and I treat Noah, who is kingdom, like he is mammon for wanting to play soccer, then I'm in error as well. Y'all see what I'm saying on this? The challenge for Sharon is to render, how to render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, how to render unto God what's God's. I'm coming in and I'm talking about what do we attach ourselves to. We just talked about attaching ourselves to things that are greatness. This is a real thing, guys. I see this as a pastor affecting our church and every church in the country. Okay? That's why I'm picking on this subject. I'm not picking on Sharon. You guys have had to make decisions. What path do we want to choose? Aaliyah and Brent will make decisions. What path do they want to choose? Keely and Tyler will make decisions. What path do we want to choose on this type of stuff? And they will come in and they will sit here and they will say, how do we attach ourselves to the greatness in our child? Because there's greatness in Noah. There's greatness in his 3. There's greatness in his 2 grandchildren. Greatness in your son. Greatness in your 2. Greatness in all of our children and grandchildren. And how do I attach myself to that? Or excuse me, how do I let God attach me to the greatness in them and facilitate that without giving mammon things that are God's? Is that not challenging? Is that what keeps parents up at night? How far do I go in this thing? Y'all going to have some big decisions to make, big bridges to cross. Because one mistake that I see in our culture, you guys will, when y'all start having kids, or if you've got kids and you start making those decisions, and this translates over into our personal life. Because the problem that I see, one of the biggest problems that I see in people's lives, why they don't grow and advance spiritually, is because they attach themselves to the wrong things. Like even like James was saying, on a spiritual level. They attach themselves. I can go to 10U soccer, baseball, softball, football, and I can just walk around and listen to the dads, and every one of them thinks their kid's going to be the next Derek Jeter. It's humorous. I mean, have y'all not heard it and seen it? Kid made All-Stars at Bremen. That's good. He's probably not going to be the next Derek Jeter. And we spend our life, they'll pull out a bat bag and they'll got $2,000 worth of baseball bats in there and spend, I can't tell y'all how much money I spent traveling around the country carrying Errol to tournaments and stuff. She played college ball, enjoyed it. I'm not saying it was a fruitless thing, but you have to be careful how much you attach to things that are mammon. And it, you can put it in other things. You can chase your career and forsake God. And it is no different. With the dream that I'm going to be the next, you fill in the blank. And you may be the next, you fill in the blank, but one day you'll find yourself rich, but empty, and alone, and looking for stuff. After the conference was over, we spent 2 days in Malibu, up in the mountains, at a little community called Topanga. And it's up in the mountains above Malibu and all. We stayed a little bed and breakfast up there. And the average price of homes up there is just like stupid ridiculous. And I'm not talking about fancy homes, guys. I'm talking about homes like we live in and less, and they're like $1.5 million, you know. And I'm not talking about on the beach. I'm just talking about everywhere out there. And I see these folks, and of course, you know, Land Rovers, or excuse me, Range Rovers and or Mercedes and BMWs would seem to be the vehicle of choice, you know. But in this little community that we stayed in, a little bed and breakfast, and we went hiking and all of that cool stuff and everything. But in this, it's a real, real big hippie community. I mean, showing up hippie community. Like when we checked in the bed and breakfast, one of the lines that we had to sign is, "I will not smoke marijuana at your establishment." You know, I've never seen that before. I'm like, okay, that's a separate line item. I'm a hippie area. But in that little community of just a few thousand people, there were some nice restaurants and all, and they had a cool little vibe and all of that stuff. But in that, I cannot tell you the number of establishments that we saw for shamans, palm readers. The lady that ran the bed and breakfast was telling us not too long ago they had a group came in, and one of the people in their group was an oracle. And when they got there, they said, "You can't touch her or speak to her because it might take some of her stuff away." She said, "I done shook her hand, didn't even know it." I said, "Did it change your life?" She said, "No." Felt like shaking Bob the Trash Man's hand. What I'm saying is we stayed in a community that was affluent and educated and wealthy for the most part. And they were so looking for answers in life. To go to somebody and say, "Look at this and tell me what my future is," that is the most absolute. And I'm going to go to a shaman. I mean, they had a Himalayan shop where I could go in and get all my... Have you ever seen a Himalayan shop? A Himalayan shop. I can go in and get my prayer flags and all of this stuff and all of this, this, and this. And you say, "Well, what's different, that different in that religion and your religion and all of this stuff?" We could go into, "I serve a living God." And it's not a path of self-enlightenment. It's a path of relationship with Him. And all these people are on a path of self-enlightenment, and they're not finding it. And you know why? Because they're attaching themselves to mammon. They're attaching themselves to something. They're attaching themselves to something. And the thing for us to do, the thing for us is to recognize and see what is kingdom, what is God, and allow Him, put ourselves in place, allow Him to attach us to that. And the things that are mammon, give them what they're worth. I'm not saying don't. If your job is mammon, give it 40 hours. That's what it deserves. All right? If you view it as mammon, then go give it, you know, you're in management. Give it 55 hours of good. I'm going to go in, I'm going to give it 100%. But don't give it your soul. Don't give it your marriage. Don't give it your children. Because I see people do it every day. Every day. I'm cool with Noah playing soccer. That's awesome, man. High five. Knock yourself out, but recognize it for what it is. It's soccer. At the end of the day, it's a bunch of guys running around and kicking a ball. Amen? And we give our passion, we give our focus, we give our energy to things that look good and make us feel good and make us feel cool. Right now, great time to be a Georgia fan, isn't it, Randy? They're doing good, man. I know you're worried about them letting you down and all of that stuff. They're doing good. They're top 10. They're having a good year. They look fresh. Good defense. Not good time to be a Georgia fan. Bad time to be a Vanderbilt fan. Always a bad time to be a Vanderbilt fan. That's like being a Tech fan. But I have spent my whole life, good time to be a Bama fan. 92 wasn't a good time to be a Bama fan. Now is. Yeah, whatever. Whatever your tribe is. I've been to a lot of them, you know. I've been to a lot of them. When the eagle flies down at Jordan Hare, it makes them back. It does. It makes the hair on the back. I've stood in there and watched it and done the, whoo, I've done that. It's awesome. But recognize it for what it is. As good as it is, it will not change your life. You don't rise and fall on how a 19-year-old kid performs. Or a 26-year-old professional. And we attach too much on the wrong stuff. And we give things that belong to God. You know what my passion is? I'm pretty indifferent about athletics now. I really am. And we grew up in athletics, and our kids were in athletics, and we loved athletics. But I'm pretty indifferent about athletics right now. Because it's not worth my passion, my energy, my emotion. It's not worth those things. It's not worth my undying commitment, or my dying commitment, whichever you want to put in there. It's not worth that. You know what is? Her. You know what is? Him. You know what is? Y'all. You know what is? Y'all. It's not just family right here. I came out of the conference and I tried to make some notes in my notebook and write down things, you know, what did God impress on me and what moved on me the most and all of that. And just listen to phenomenal worship and all of that, just amazing presence, 6,000 people in there just, you know, all about just kingdom, let's get in the presence. All right, y'all know what the first thing, the thing that moved me the most out of the 3 days that I spent there? Watching Bill Johnson interact with his grandchildren before the music started playing. Here's a guy that's the father of a movement. And this thing's about, I mean, it's Bethel. Global. Hillsong's global. I mean, our life group study is, the cat is the global ministry. Global ministry. Music's translated into 80-something languages. I think I heard that last year. 80-something different languages. Being sung all over the world. Millions of churches every day. And you're the father of that. And I sit and I watched him. About from where Jeffrey is to him right here. And I sit and watched him when his grandchildren, I saw it on two different occasions, when his grandchildren came up to him. One of them was a teenage girl and one of them was a toddler about Sidney Hanna's age, somewhere in that ballpark. But when they came up to him on two totally different nights, two totally different days, when they came up to him, nothing else in that moment mattered except the fact that his grandchild was there with him. And I saw every bit of his focus. I sit and watched it. Every bit of his focus was on them. And the way he interacted, and the way that he loved and kissed them. I watched him kiss one of them twice. And that marked me more than, wow! I don't even remember what he preached, but I remember what he did, Kami. And I said, that's pure worship right there. Is recognizing that God has attached you to the greatness on that life. And giving the things that are God's to that. You know what it made me want to do a little bit more? Focus on my grandkids a little bit more today. I hope it lasts. I didn't just rush through. When I saw on a day, to actually stop and listen to what a 3-year-old's saying. He's just saying, I got to go get on the tractor, boy. I got to go cut some hay. Come in after I get through cutting hay, and Caroline and Kennedy are there and sitting in the floor and playing hide and seek instead of saying, Poppy, I got to go get in the shower and study for an extra 10 minutes before I go to church because I got to give David something fresh and something new.
The praise and worship teams, like we've been in the back before in prayer, and I won't call out any names, but they weren't engaged with what was going on out front. They were in there playing on their phones. They didn't care what was being preached. They didn't care who was doing what. They were just waiting for their time to be in the spotlight. But this weekend we watched, and I watched Hillsong artists that are well known all over the world, and they were out in the congregation. When it's time to pray, all of them were going up and down the aisles praying for people. The whole conference, 24/7, the whole time. If whoever wasn't on stage, the rest of the 50, 75 people were out in the congregation, and they were worshiping God, and they were praying for people. And that, I watch people when I go to places just to see what's going on behind the scenes. And boy, that marked me, that they just, they're not there for themselves. They really, they're meaning it. And that marked me to want to be that person. That I want to be that person, that I'm engaged with the Lord and I'm engaged with you guys. And the people, not just here, when I go out, when I see the homeless person, and when I see somebody that needs something that I'm carrying, I can give it freely. I don't just hold it to myself.
And I want to say one thing. What time is it? I feel like it's about time to quit. 5:02. Okay, good. We're on task pretty good. I'm not going to go further than this. I can keep going, but we'll do that at a later date. The thing about this attaching ourselves to greatness and attaching ourselves to mammon. Now listen, this is important, guys. Rendering unto God what's God, rendering unto Caesar what's Caesar's. Rendering unto Caesar what's Caesar's and attaching ourselves to things that are not kingdom, you know what it is? It is always horizontal. It's always horizontal. Attaching ourselves to kingdom and greatness is vertical two ways. I can attach myself to a Papa Bill, which in my case is attaching myself to that can bring out greatness in me. But you know what it's also doing? It's attaching myself, or excuse me, letting God attach me to my 3-year-old grandson, which is on the scale of things down below me, right? But when I let God attach me to the greatness in him, you know what it does? It advances me and brings out greatness in me just as much. It does. If I do that, if I recognize the greatness in Sydney Hanna, and I allow God as her poppy to attach me to that. Hey, and just because you're biologically there doesn't mean you're there. Come on. Especially on a spiritual level. But when I allow God to attach me to the greatness in her, in him or her, you know what that does? That brings out greatness in me. It advances me. It's not just latching on to the bootstrings of somebody that's gone further than I've gone. It's coming in and attaching myself to that. If I recognize greatness in Carter, I let God show me that, and I attach myself to that. That brings out greatness in me, because I am giving unto God the things that belong to God. Hey, Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." He said, "Let them come." And he said, "If you do it to the little children, you've done it to me." So what he's saying is there's kingdom on them. It's not just the guys that are higher up the food chain than you. And everybody wants to come in and suck at the power teat or the fame teat, right? Because I just want to rub shoulders with somebody that's famous. Be around something that's successful. I want a selfie with Saban. Allow God to show me that in them. And I allow him to attach me to that. I think that's one of the things of leading well. And something that I want to aspire to be better at with you guys, with all of you guys, is to come in and allow God to open my eyes, posture myself where I can hear His voice and hear what He's saying about you. And as He sees you, and He recognizes greatness in you, and His dream, and His desire, and His plan for your life, and if I can come in and allow Him to attach me to the greatness that's on your life, then who gets blessed out of that? Yes, you and me. Because when I do that, I help bring greatness out of you. But that brings greatness out of me. I felt better about myself for at least recognizing and being convicted about the homeless situation out there instead of just walking by and being oblivious to it. Instead of picking the other side of the street to go down. You see when somebody's sleeping in a doorway and not crossing the street to avoid it? I felt better about myself by walking up and saying, "Hey man, how's it going? Can I help you with something?" By recognizing it the way God recognizes it, it helps bring out something. It helps make me better. You see what I'm saying in that? I'm not saying giving somebody $10 and speaking a kind word to them makes you great, but it's a path to being greater than if you ignore it. Wouldn't you agree? Do y'all get what I'm saying tonight? This is a pretty powerful message tonight. I hope it's something. Let he who have ears to hear, let him hear. It's not just that up there. And I'm smiling. I get back to where I left, and I promise I'm closing at 7:59. I got 58 seconds. I'm aspiring as a leader to stop being frustrated with people and let God show me the greatness that He sees in people. And then if He chooses, when I recognize it, if He chooses to attach me to that, then I will help elevate them as it elevates me. That's when I'm a good leader to you. Not just, I like Robin, she's cool, and we connect and all of that stuff. But I see kingdom greatness in her. Because God showed it to me. Jonathan didn't see it on David on his own. God showed it to him. There was a whole nation that saw him being brave. And they said, "Wow! Let's sing a song about David." But there was a group that allowed God to connect them to Him. You know who it was? Mighty men. Jonathan. Because they saw it. And they said, "I say yes to this. I say yes to this God connection." So let's stand to our feet. I'm done as I can be for this time frame. If I leave you with anything tonight, I want to leave you with walking away saying, "What's Caesar's and what's God's?" What's Caesar's and what's God's? And if this is Caesar's, I'm going to give it. It's just due. But I'm not going to give it more. But if it's God's, I'm going to give it everything. If it's God's, it's got everything. It's mammon, is it? How many of y'all voluntarily pay more taxes than what you have to? Voluntarily, you just feel good about it? But at the end of the day, you want your money back at the end of the year, though, right? You expect your money back. You're not going to give it when they say, "Oh, we're going to give you a refund check at the end of the year," and you say, "Oh, no, put that on the national debt." You don't, do you? I don't even donate $3 to the presidential campaign. I'm like, them jokers get enough money from everything else. I ain't giving them $3 more of mine. It's a given. None of y'all want to give more than what you feel like they deserve or is required. But yet you do it on the spiritual level every day. Oh, mammon, you only get 20%. You only deserve 20% of my passion, 20% of my time, 20% of whatever. But I'm going to give you 50. If you did it on the taxes, I'd be like, okay. Why do you do it on the spiritual? Why do you do it on the spiritual? Just give unto mammon what's mammon. Give unto Caesar what's Caesar. But give unto God. He is just. Amen? Jeffrey, go ahead and start the music. The altar's open down here, guys. Maybe your prayer tonight needs to be, God, show me. Because, man, I struggle figuring this thing out. I just need you to open my eyes and open my ears and open my heart and my mind and show me, Father. Show me what I'm supposed to give each area of my life. Because I don't want to give away what's supposed to be yours. And I don't want to give you what's supposed to be Caesar's. So maybe that needs to be your prayer tonight. Let's just go to Him. Father, we come to You. I thank You for this evening. I thank You for this gathering of people. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that You just stir and just move in our midst. Let this Word that's come forth, let it take hold in our hearts. Let it take hold in our minds. Let's just seek after You. Let's position ourselves and posture ourselves properly so that we can hear Your voice. So that we can so connect with You and the greatness that You put on others. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.